This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
If you today are fearful, worried, concerned with all the confusion that we see and hear, experience in the world, what advantage do you have as a believer, as a Christian? How can you have mountain-moving faith, fear-quenching faith, miracle-seeing faith? Well, the Bible teaches that faith comes by something that you hear, something that you see or perceive. You can hear things that will increase your faith, quench your fears, and give you direction. It can be powerful enough to move mountains and raise the dead. I like what the Bible teaches. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. If your faith is weak today, it's troubled, you don't know where to go, you're listening and looking for the answer and don't believe it's possible. Today I want to share with you a faith-building testimony of what God is doing in the world today, not what the news says. Today, our guest teacher via recording is David Hogan, and he's sharing his experience. It is a faith-invigorating, faith-inspiring message. It will change your life today. So what God has done in this ministry of David Hogan, it will change your life. Here he is, David Hogan of Freedom Ministry.
Jesus.
We have conferences, a lot of these here where I live. Try to pull in 100 or 150 churches to worship God, to let fire come amongst us, to let the angels come, to let the word of God be released over the land and in the tribes. And so I was at one of our deals. It wasn't very large. It's a small tribe. They're called the Huasteco Indians. They were dominated by the Aztecos, and they were subservient. And the way the Aztecs ran their kingdom, they allowed the people, the different tribes, to prosper and do what they do. But once they got to a certain number, they would roll in with an army. And regardless of, their family wasn't involved. They would just go in, divide the people, and take them to another location, relocate them, start over. And so it drove the Huastecos to witchcraft. And that's where we found them. I've never been around anywhere. I go to all the continents, and I'm involved in a lot of anti-witchcraft and demonic activity things in all the planet. But these people are different than most. And so I like going there. There's never a service that we don't have some sort of rebuttal. And I like it. It gives me energy to know that hell is properly disposed because we came along. I like that. And so we got out there, and I don't think it was over 1,000. It may have been 1,200, maybe. I don't know. Who cares? And so we're sitting there, right? And things are rocking out pretty smooth. And they tell me there's been a se privó una mujer, which means that a woman passed out, went into a coma. And so they want you. So I rolled out of our. By the time I got there, she was dead. So we go in there, and the family's distraught. It's what it is. The members of the family that were born again saw me. They came and told me the story, and I go in, and I'm paying my respects. And one of my grandsons was with me. He rolls up on this bed where this dead person is. You know, and he's looking at me, and he says to me, "Why isn't she breathing?" I said, "It's because she died." He says, "So this is death?" I said, "This is death." He says, "Well, aren't you going to pray?" I said, "I am. But I need you to put your hand on her first." And so And he just reaches his little tiny hand over there and touches that lady, and he's just looking at me and looking at her, and you know, and he's, everything I say, he says, and it was awesome. I mean, it was really, would have made a really good teaching thing for y'all. And all of a sudden, the lady come back to life. She'd been dead probably, wasn't 2 hours, probably an hour and something. And she took a breath. And he looks at me. He said, "Did we do that?" I said, "No, but we invited the one here that does." That's how this whole thing I'm fixing to tell you started, was with a dead raising. All right, and with my grandson being there. It's awesome. And so we go back down the thing, and on the way back, they heard I was out there, so you got to go by about 20 more houses and heal the sick and keep singing because they want me to talk. But so I get there, and there was these wheelchairs and that, and so I'm doing my thing, and all of a sudden, an eruption took place. This lady in the front in a wheelchair. Now, this lady in the front, she starts vomiting all over her. Glass, rocks, and uneaten chilies. And they're just boiling out of her. You don't even need discernment for that. You know, that's just the devil. That's witchcraft. So you just reach your hand, stick it, you know, on her in Jesus' name, be healed. And so then she gets up. Now, this is a crippled lady. And all of a sudden, she stands up and starts, and she's vomiting these things. And we're all freaked out because she's walking. Now, the demon's leaving, and we're pretty pleased about that. So I'm thinking, wow, this is nice. And so then another voice spoke to me. Hermano David, te necesito. Brother David, I need you, please. And I go over, and there's this lady there that has been with me since, I don't know, I don't really remember her not being with us. And then she said something to me that changed the course of my life. And I expect her, because there aren't very many people, period, on the planet that caused me to be nervous when I'm around. She was that old lady about 4 foot tall. She's frightening. Probably the most fearless human in God I know. And I just look at her, because when she says, "I need you, Brother David," you don't want what's coming next. Because for her to need me means it went above her pay scale. And she thinks mine can probably compensate. And so that means I'm fixed to be engaged in something I don't want to be engaged in. And I'm looking at her. I said, "I need to go a minute." She said, "No, you're not. You come back here." It's a true statement. Because I don't get afraid. I just don't engage in things that I think might make me afraid. And this lady, she is bizarre. She loves Jesus too. Wow, she's impressive. So she says, she grabbed my hand, which is also, they don't do that, the Indian ladies in their culture. And she says, "Hay problemas. Hay problemas. There's problems." I said, "I already had that figured out because you called for me." And she says, "There's been an incident." Now, when a person that has this kind of caliber and capabilities tells me that statement, I definitely need to go home. Because I don't want to be involved. My world has enough rudeness, crudeness, negative hate, envy, strife, war, rumors of wars, death, violence in it, without adding her viewpoint. And she says, "You're the dad." And I know what that means. That's more. That's just more influence. Her explaining to me the level we're at for her to talk to me. I said, "I am dad. What do you want?" So she says, "We've been attacked." I said, and how come I haven't heard about it? She said, we kept it for you. Now, I know the level I'm at now. This means a lots of people have been slaughtered, and I have to go in and do recompense, which means I have to die because the bad guys are on the prowl. I said, where? She told me. I said, I'd like for you to explain to me. Now, I'm going to explain it to you, and I'm not going to tell you location. So what happened was one of our church, normal church service, there wasn't even 100 people there. It was a barrio church, a neighborhood church in a city that's controlled by the cartel. And for some reason, while our church service is going on, is when the military decided to raid the cartel, which is a half a block away. When the hard-nosed bullets start flying, all of you will run in every direction. When the bullets start flying, I need you on the ground. Because your panic, the bad guys and the military are not going to know who's who. And you're out there in their firefight, and you're going to die. And what happened was, when they opened up, panic hit our people. You got mamas and grandmas running with babies, and they ran outside, and they blew their heads off of our people. Listen to me. I know you want me to come here and tell you that all these people got shot and we raised the dead and they came back. They didn't. We lost. My response was, I need to go buy a few cases of AKs, 3,000, 4,000 rounds per rifle. I need to muster an army and I need to go do a little payback. Because that I can do. That I do know how to do. This gospel thing gets a little tight sometimes. I said, well, that made me, I'm telling you, that made me hostile. I felt anger. I felt vengeance. I felt retaliation. I felt hurt. I need to bring you through these emotions with me. That hurts your feelings. These people, if anybody's innocent, it was those kids that were in tow with grandma when their heads got popped off their shoulders. And so I want to go over there. Because we've had a series of miracles happen now that's on the heels of all, on the wake of these atrocities. And it matters how you handle these atrocities and things that are against you. It matters how you worship Jesus. In the middle of chaos, you must rejoice in the Lord Holy Ghost. Even though you feel your humanity and what needs to be done, it's not right. So I said, what do you want? She said, we've thought about it. You're our dad. The church is broken. They're asking for you. If you go, we're going to all die. If you don't, the gospel will there. I said, I'm in. I wouldn't consider me to be overly courageous because I'm not backing down and I'm not bluffing. I said, what do you want? They said, we need one day, and you can't bring anybody. I said, I am. I'm bringing my grandson. Because you know that I'm wrong to take my grandson there. But am I right or wrong? You don't know. You have no experience. But I do. How am I going to teach his generation how to stand beside men of God if they're not willing to give their life? How am I going to teach him what faith is if I don't throw him at the fire? So I went to my son Joseph. It was his boy. And I said to him, Corbin's going to go with me. Where are you going, Dad? And I told him. All he did was drop his gaze to the ground. That is the strongest no I'll get out of them people, my family. They don't say anything. They just drop their gaze to the ground when they disagree with me. I said to him, it doesn't matter. He's going with me. Make it right. My son lifted up his head. He looked me right in the eyes. So be it, Dad. So, you have no idea of this type of energy. And I hope you never have to experience it, but more likely in the future you will. I'm nervous. Miss Hogan came in and found me in a rocking chair speaking in tongues in the dark. Shaka ta ta ra ba ta. What's wrong with you? Well, I got to take that boy of yours, that grandson of yours. We got to go to this location right here. She said, what's going to happen? I said, we're going to die. She said, you don't have any proof that you will die. You only have the word of the demon. Let's get the word of the Lord. So we did. We sought the Lord. And so the day comes, and I put her in a hotel close by so she could be come and scrape us up if necessary. And my grandson, I carry him to this location, and I'm not going to disclose it to you. And he can't breathe because of the fear. Now, he's a big boy. He's bigger than I am. And we're standing there on the dirt where all the bloodshed happened. And he come over to him. He grabbed my hand. Thank you, Papa, for letting me stand beside you in the war against the evil one. I said, do your job, boy. We got to get out of here somehow. Yes, sir, Papa. And we're standing there. I don't know what to do. I've provoked him enough just by showing up with my big fancy four-wheel drive and my color of my skin. I explained that to y'all already in every service. American male white Christian. That's enough just about anywhere to get killed. And we're standing there, my grandson and I, and all of a sudden we hear trucks coming, and you're thinking it's the bad guys. Truckloads of people started showing up. It was our Christians from other cartel churches. You don't know what that means. Cartel church is 100%. The land is held by the cartel, not the government. You're in a battle zone. And we have churches all through that land. And these people heard that I was coming. And they came. Truckload. 8 truckloads. You know what they... I went out and met them. What are you doing here? You need to leave. No show of force. You can't do this. You know that. Yes, sir, we do know that. Thank you. Why are you here? We heard you came. We came to die with you. See, this is Christianity in a great hour. This is what God's looking for in us. I was so scared I couldn't stop shaking. I couldn't breathe from it. But I was there, and I was holding my ground and doing my job. Because it won't be very much longer. We'll figure it out. And we ain't holding no ground. We're taking the high ground. We are sons of God. I wish you could have seen them there. All of the people that came in those trucks came unarmed. And all of them are cartel people that got born again. All of them. Yes. All right. This is bizarre. What I'm telling you. Okay. And I'm standing up there trying to figure out, what do you say to people who watch their grandchildren's heads blow up off their bodies? Do you understand why I had to bring my grandson? I had to. These people have given their children. I had to. And so... this lady came out of the crowd, and she's a little grandma herself, and they never touched me, none of them hardly, but she came up and she grabbed a hold of me and put her head right down here, holding on to me, and she's just bawling. And I'm praying for her. ¿Qué quieres, hermanita? What do you want, baby girl? She said, I need some help. I said, we all do. She said, I was running with my grandchildren, and both of them lost their heads. It doesn't matter what book you read or who you think you know. When you're holding those people, there ain't nothing to say. What works is the mercy of God, the love of the gospel. What works is the compassion of the Christ.
Yes.
What works is Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know why, but all of a sudden this energy hit both of us, hit her, picked her up first, and threw her a few yards over there. Hit me, picked me up, and threw me the other way. It was like a bomb hit us. I woke up, I'm groggy. Fire has overrun the place of God. People are bouncing all over the place, speaking in tongues and being healed and blessed. I never got to preach. I never got to do anything. Jesus walked in with us. All of a sudden, the gate, there's some tap on the gate. It's them. They roll in, several of them. Fire's bouncing all over the place. And they walk straight up to me. You are the blankety blank white guy. I am. You are David. Yes. We heard you was coming. I said, I'm here. What do you want? And they put their weapons down and got on their knees and got born again. All of you in your little awesome worlds, which they are, and I appreciate them. I do. I'm not belittling you at all. But you wonder, what is wrong with that white guy? What's wrong with me is what I just told you. I went with a sacrifice in tow, my grandson, and I went to a bloody battleground. And instead of getting killed, some of the men that squeezed off the rounds came and got born again. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. So after that, some time goes by and I get back to my home in Mexico and I have a meeting with my elders, and that's what I always do. I roll them in and we had a big party, and I kill a few cows and we have fun. And so one of them says to me, you got to come to this location. I said, no. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. You know I can't go there. If I go in, it's 100%. 100%, you don't understand that terminology. 100% is no one comes out alive. Whoever invited me, all the way through, their entire family gets killed. All of my family gets killed, hunted down. There's no safe place anywhere. They will kill us all. And I know that. So I said, no, I'm not going. They said, you will come. It's the will of God. I said, I'll see about that for myself. So I did. I sought the Holy Ghost. I took 40 days and I sat down in his presence. And he never told me no. That means yes. So Ms. Hogan comes in and finds me sitting in a chair again. What's wrong with you? And I told her where I had to go. She said, what did God tell you when we first came to Mexico? I said, well, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples.
Yes.
She said, has he called it back? Has he relinquished his call on you? I said, no, ma'am. She said, then go and preach the gospel. Yes, ma'am. That's all you say to her. Because I've been with her a long time, and she'll hold her ground until you finally give in. It's the right thing because it's always the right reasons. So, in Jesus' name. And so, boy, I was nervous. Because it's 100%. You go in there, no outsiders are allowed. No one. They had gone and got permission from some cartel captains, but that's not enough. You have to go through more than two layers of these captains to get to where I was going, and so that's not enough territory. And so, but I decided to go anyway. And I brought my boy Joseph with me this time. I drafted him. He didn't want to go that time, but I made him go anyway. So here's how it went. I want to explain to you how much God loves us. I'm not adequate on this. I'm not good at speaking to people. I'm a soldier more than anything, and I can do that. And so the day came, and I'm afraid. I left my house, my ranch, and I go out the front gate, and I'm not talking. I'm through. Soldier's there. Ain't nothing to say. Jesus King, Shita, Dani. We're not coming home. I kissed her goodbye. And we all know it. I got through the first captain's terrain I went through. I saw the walkie-talkies. Then I saw the cell phones. It's on. They got us. Next thing you know, there's a Toyota behind us filled with AKs. People with AK-47s. Must have been probably 12 of them in that vehicle. We get to the turn into the territory, the last location. We picked up another truck. I go about three blocks, pick up another truck. Every block from then on had them waiting on us on either side. We're dead. I see them. I recognize it. I know it's coming. It's all right. You have to understand that it's all right. Jesus paid the price before us. And if it's necessary for our turn, you be bold. You have your shoulders square and your head up, and you be speaking in tongues, and you spit right in the demon's eye. Because Jesus is King. There was a blockade in front of me. There, I don't know how many, 8, 10 carloads of these folks, trucks. This is it. For no apparent reason, we don't know. I don't care what they do and who they are and how organized they are and how powerful they are. That's not important to me. What's important to me is healing the sick, cleansing the leper, casting out demons, and raising the dead, and preaching the gospel to the poor. My job now is to talk your generation into this kind of thing. All of a sudden, they backed up. They didn't leave. They backed away. And so I slipped my truck into gear, slow. All right, we got to a location where we were building this. We're building a conference center in the middle of this. We're building a conference center. You have no idea what we do, and I'm not going to sit here and make us look good to you. Jesus is King. And they wanted me to bless that thing they're building, big. And that's one of the reasons they wanted me there. So I get out and I'm with these people, and it's only a few of us, and I'm walking up. What I didn't know was the commander that's over these captains of the bad guys, we'll call them, they just people that have lost their way. They need Jesus. Because everybody I'm fixing to talk to just a few months or a couple of years ago was one of these people. All of them. And they got born again. And there's hundreds of them there. And so I'm sorry to you about what I'm fixing to say. The mercy of God is absolutely astounding. We didn't know they were ringed around us, but they had guns set up to shoot us all. What happened was the commander of these captains gave the order, who's let them in? And they told them about the pastor in the back of my truck. We had him back there standing up so that they could see we weren't just coming in, that we were with somebody. And the commander of the captains of the cartel said, I know that guy. He's a alleluia. Let him go. That's when they backed up and we went in. He said, but ring them 360. And if any word other than Jesus comes out over the speaker, kill them all. This is the value of knowing Jesus. This is the value of the message. Because I am under duress and stress and everything. There's demons I didn't even know existed were on me. Pressure. And Yet the word of Jesus holds value to these people.
David Hogan, a missionary and minister to Mexico.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at KK1.